Come, Lord Jesus, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Today our focus is baptism. The baptism of our Lord Jesus, the baptism of Wrigley, and a day that we remember our own baptisms. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. It's the beginning of a journey in a relationship with God through Christ. And we hear that echoing through our scriptures this morning. We're getting ready to take another journey together, a journey not unlike our journey of baptism. In fact, it's part of our journey of baptism. It is a journey through the scripture together. We've been talking about it now for several months. I know all of you are very aware. I hope that you made it through Munn's Hall today and picked up your materials, your books, as we begin this exciting journey together. And that's a key word here I want you to hold on to. We're doing this together. This isn't just an individual thing. It's something we're going to do collectively and within our own families. And so your homework this week is to get your book. If you did not get your book, please go by and get it after this service. They will be waiting for you there. And you'll have one chapter to read this week. It will be the story of creation, 12 pages. And each member of your family will have a version of their own book to read. Y'all can do that together, or you can do it independently. But bring that knowledge to church next week, and we will have a service that will focus upon the creation, chapter 1. And then we'll go into Sunday school tomorrow in Munn's Hall. Sorry, next Sunday in Munn's Hall, and we will go deeper with questions, with discussion, and just listening and learning together. This will go on for 31 weeks as we go through and experience God's story, God's redeeming and unfailing love for you and for me. It's God's story, but it's your story. It's our story together. It's our family story. It's why we come together each and every Sunday to be reminded who we are. The new year brings New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you all have made your New Year's resolution. You may have several New Year's resolutions by now, but I submit to you that there's none more important than this one, that you would resolve to commit to reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting the Word of God. That you would take that deep within you and allow it to change you. Maybe changing your diet was one of your resolutions this year. Well, this, I submit to you, is a diet that will truly change your life. I don't know, sitting down at the table of the Lord each day, asking Him to come in like Jeremiah, and chewing on His word like a cud, chewing on it, mulling it over, and swallowing it, taking it within you and allowing it to begin to sustain your life. The journey that we're about to embark upon together will take as much commitment as any New Year's resolution. And you know just how difficult those are, don't you? Yeah, we begin with a lot of excitement and the best of intentions, only to lose focus and then ultimately to forget the commitment and then say, well, we'll try again next year. How many of you all have attempted to pick up the Bible and read it cover to cover only to get bogged down in Deuteronomy and Numbers? you were really excited about Genesis and Exodus, and all of a sudden it came to a screeching halt. You began to lose your focus, and ultimately you lost your commitment. I know I have. I've had a hard time reading all the way through the scripture. When people come to me and say, where do I begin this book? I usually say the Gospel of John is a pretty good place to begin. It speaks directly to us. But we really have to begin at the beginning. And that's what we're going to do as we embark upon this journey together. This time it's going to be different. It's going to be different primarily because we're doing it together. We're sharing it together. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to support one another. We're going to commit together to reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting God's story of salvation. It's going to take some discipline and some desire, but we are willing to make that journey together, and we can carry each other through it, loving and supporting and growing together. We aren't going to give up this time, are we? No? Do I have your commitment?
Yes.
All right. I believe that this is truly a unique opportunity. There's no other time where we have had an opportunity to gather this many people together, and there's more than just us here today to journey through the scriptures. It could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for all of us. I know many of us come, we've heard the stories since we were children. We know the stories in bits and pieces, little discrete sections of scripture, but somehow we don't always know exactly how they fit together with one another. And so we are going to go continuously, chronologically, through the narrative of scripture. And unless we know the whole narrative, unless we can see the whole trajectory of scripture, will we actually come to experience the power of the scripture, the power to change our lives? There is a continuous narrative going on. In fact, there are two parallel stories that are going through scripture. And I'm going to really have you all focus on these two stories as we go through, the upper story and the lower story. The upper story is God's story. What God is doing, what God is planning and preparing and creating, and what God's plan is for the future of His creation. And then there's the lower story that is going on, and it doesn't always line up with the upper story. It's God's people struggling to be in relationship with Him, wandering through the desert, getting it wrong, failing, picking themselves up, remembering who they are, and journeying down the road together. God's story and our story. We find ourselves, unless we come to know what God's story is, we won't be able to understand our own story. And so knowing the whole story is everything. And this is a unique opportunity to do that together. If we are going to be a community that is about changing lives and sharing Christ, we have to be intentional about who we are. We have to be intentional about our own faith development and the development of our children, our precious children who are coming in our footsteps. Faith does not just happen. We don't just get it by osmosis. We don't just get it by coming to church. We've got to take an ownership in the faith development of our own lives and that of our children. We certainly don't want to farm out our faith to others. We need to be the ones responsible for forming our children in their faith. Studies say over and over that if children are going to have faith, they're not going to get it from anybody but their parents. We are teaching them whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not. They are going to get their faith from us. And so we as parents need to be really intentional in taking that role seriously. The greatest gift that we can give our child is a working knowledge of the love of God in their lives. That is the greatest gift that's going to sustain them throughout their adult life and into the future. And I believe that this story is an incredible opportunity for parents to do just that, to give their kids this abiding love of God in Christ through the framework of this study together. And together we will support one another in that endeavor. As we read our lesson one chapter a week, and we come to church to hear the sermon, to pray our prayers, and to go out into our Sunday school to discuss it. Ultimately, we want to take this discussion back into the family, back to the dinner table, back to the place where we remember what our family story is and who we are. As I said, today is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord. Epiphany is all about the light switch going off. It's all about the aha moment. It's all about seeing and understanding anew. It is about going, okay, I get it. Jesus came to John at the Jordan to begin his journey into his public ministry with his Father. We come to baptism to say yes to God and to make a public commitment to our journey with Christ. And that's what Wrigley is about to do. Come and make her commitment to Christ and make her public journey of faith. It is a beginning. It's a new year. It's a new day. It is the ultimate New Year's resolution as we recommit our life to Christ and we make a new commitment together. We're going to renounce the story that says God is not a part of it. We're going to embrace the story that says God is the central figure in our lives. We're going to embrace the new life of faith and hope and love. And we're going to say, I will, with God's help, because he's with us, to walk with us, to carry us. He has joined his story to our story. And in it, we find our identity. We find our meaning and our purpose in life. When God came to be with us in the flesh, in the birth of Jesus, it was God saying, I'm joining my story to your story. When Jesus went to the waters of baptism, why did he have to be baptized? He says, I am aligning myself with you. I am going to be baptized with you. And together, in Christ, we will journey together. And so, we don't live out these lives perfectly, but with God's help, we press on toward the goal of the heavenly promise. And did you know that we hear that gospel promise in the Old Testament as well? Some of us neglect the Old Testament, but listen to the gospel. It sounds like it ought to be in the New Testament, but listen. This is coming from the words of the prophet Isaiah this morning. Listen to these words again. For this is what the Lord who created and formed you says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do you hear that gospel message? Wow. We cannot hear those words enough. This gospel message runs throughout the entire narrative of the Bible. It is the word that gives us our identity, our meaning, and our purpose in life. These are the words of hope that change us and heal us, propel us on, remind us who we are. We don't hear them once and put them on the shelf. We embrace them again and again and allow them to speak to us each and every time. I hope that you are as excited as I am about taking this journey together, about making a commitment together, about bringing an open mind, an open heart of expectation, and seeing what the Lord God can do in our lives together and individually, in our families and in our community. May God speak to us as he spoke to Jesus in his baptism. As the heavens parted and the voice of God said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Amen.